Okay, so we were discussing the sugya of the taking down a Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara told us over here that is, you're not allowed to take down the Beis HaKnesses in a community until you first build the new one. Well, this there inish Beis Kanishta, the Banu Beis Kanishta Achrisi. And the Gemara brought up two possible concerns. Either it's because you're going to be negligent, and you're not going to build the next one. You're going to be negligent, and you know, we'll have to explain negligent in terms of what, and delay in the building of the next one of the next one, or postpone indefinitely the beginning of building the next one, or give up on the project, abandon the project entirely. But okay, mishum shiu, so the ika daven mishum tzluye. You want to have a place to daven in the interim. My beinayu, we can beinayu the ika. What if there is a place to daven in the interim? If there's a place to daven in the interim, then it doesn't sound like we have, you know, much of a concern. But if it was because you have no place to daven, if it was because of Shiusa, so then it sounds like we would still have a concern. So if the reason why we demand that you build the new one before you destroy the old one is because you're not going to place the daven here, you have a place to daven. If it's because of Shiusa, you're not going to build the new one, so then it sounds like that concern would continue to exist. That concern would continue to exist. Because even though you have a place to daven, you still might give up on the project of building the new Beis HaKnesses. Which sounds like, I guess, even though you have a temporary place to daven, you might not have a permanent place to daven. Or it sounds like there's a separate objective to have a shul in the community. Even if you have a place to daven, that's really not good enough. It sounds like the communal, so what? You have a place to daven, who cares? It sounds like, no, you still have to have, you know, an obligation to have a shul. Not just a place to daven, maybe because that place to daven is temporary by nature. Or maybe because it's part of the features of community, is that it should have a synagogue. But the concern here doesn't seem to be fundamental. It seems to be more practical, right? It's not a problem in necessarily taking down the shul inherently. It's only because you won't have a place to daven. Or you won't have a shul in the community. But inherently, it doesn't sound like we have much of a concern. But that's a little bit curious, because there was a Gemara Masechtas Megillah over here, Oisalaf on the sheet, that comes in the Pesukim Sefer Yechezkel, which says Vahigohem, when they're going to go into Galus Mikdash Miyat Be'artoy Shaboshem, that even when they go into Galus, they will have they won't have the Beis HaMikdash, but they'll have a Mikdash Miyat. What is a Mikdash Miyat? That's the Bate Knesset, the Bate Midrash Shavavavel. So Bate Knesset, Bate Midrash Shavavavel, known as a Mikdash Miyat. For that reason, the shul is a Mikdash Miyat. I'm sure you've heard this before. So for that reason, there are certain parallels between the construction of a shul and the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, some sefer was asked about a very hot issue in those days. In our times, it's almost forgotten about, but it's still important to be aware of, is that the bima has to be in the middle of the shul. If you've ever been in a conservative or reform temple, you will know that the bima is usually in the front of the synagogue, typically facing towards the people. And they actually read the Torah facing towards, in those communities, you know, temples where they read the Torah, I think most probably do read the Torah, they read the Torah facing the audience, as opposed to the bima in a traditional shul, which is in the middle of the shul, facing the yaron. So, can you move it to the front? We had a shiloh over here in YU, they wanted to move the amud to the back, because you couldn't hear the guy. When they first built this base medrash, I don't know what, there were a lot of things. There were no outlets and whatever. All the people who built it no longer not involved too much anymore. Petra was involved, but he wasn't in charge. It was really other people. But anyway, outlets, no outlets. Because they told us at the time, a lot of people used laptops at the time. They thought batteries would be so good, you would never need a laptop, you know, you charge it once at night, like your cell phone. Who would need an outlet? Anyway, Kitzer, but one of the other things that created a problem at the beginning was acoustics, because the amud was all the way in the front and the bima was somewhere, you know, towards the front, and it was hard to hear in the back. So I think they moved the amud now. They don't daven from the front of the shul, do they? They're down from the middle of the shul. Yeah, they're down from the middle of the shul. And then the bima's right behind it. The bima's right behind it, yeah. So they moved everything back. There are some shuls that I've seen that other than here. But ideally, you should build a shul with the proper acoustics. The amud is in the front, and the bima is, you know, where they read the Kriyas HaTorah, is in the middle. But do you have to have it that way? Can we move it to the front, you know? Is that allowed? So some sefer argues you're not allowed to do it. Obviously, he was fighting the reform and the conservative, but he's like, yeah, the conservative came later, but he's like, you're not allowed to do it because it's a violation of Mikdash Miyat. just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the bima was in the middle, so too in the shul, the bima has to be in the middle. For that reason, also the Maharam Shik argued, you have to have a mechitza in the shul. Why have to have a mechitza in the shul? There was a mechitza in the Beis HaMikdash, that's true, we discussed how that happened. How did they change the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash to add the balcony? You know, but of course, we always said there was always a separation between the men and the women. The women were inside, the men were outside, the women were outside, the men were inside. Then they realized they were still bonding the Kalos Reisha, they put the woman in a balcony. But just like there was a separation between the men and the women in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a separation between the men and the women in the shul too, because the shul is a kind of mikdash miyad. For that reason, by the way, if you're davening on some trip where there are boys and girls together, you don't necessarily have to bring a mechitza with you in the bus to daven in a parking lot where you're going to daven mincha or something, or along on the way on some trail and some mountain range, because you don't have to bring a mechitza with you. Why not? Don't you have to have a mechitza between the men and the women when you're davening? That's a din in the shul. They shouldn't be standing next to each other. They should be at least 4 amos away. But even if there's no mechitza, shouldn't be mingling or even near each other, but there should be a separation. But you don't necessarily need a mechitza. In every shiva house, you don't have to. You can bring an aron, you're going to bring the misaskim, is going to bring the chairs and cover all the mirrors. You don't have to bring a mechitza too. A lot of times the women leave the room, but sometimes the room is a big room and the women do, you know, don't leave the room. But they don't necessarily have to leave the room, because the halach of having a mechitza is a din in the shul. It's a din in a place that's a beis hakneses. That has to have the, you know, same structure as the mikdash miyat. This is all based on this Gemara Maseches Megillah in the Pasuk and Sefer Yecheskel that describes the shuls, about the kneses, about the midrash, above all, as a mikdash miyat. Is this comparison to a Beis HaMikdash, a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Our shuls, do they have kedusha mid d'oraisa or only mid d'rabbanan? So the Ran writes on that Gemara Maseches Megillah that this is only a din mid d'rabbanan, but he has a machleik between the Ramban and himself. What kind of din d'rabbanan? What do they say when they said it has kedusha mid'rabbanan? If you remember yesterday, we discussed two types of items that we use for mitzvahs. There's tashmishe mitzvah. It's a regular item that's used for a mitzvah when, you know, when you're using it, you have to treat it with respect. But after it's over, you know, nizrakin, you can throw it in the garbage. Again, respectfully, but you can throw it in the garbage. It doesn't require geniza. Or is a shul like tashmishe kedusha, because you lay in Torah there, daven there, say Shem Hashem there. So maybe that's like tefillin and mezuzahs. Is that Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah? So the Ran quotes from the Ramban, Hikshu Ramban, the Tiras, the Beis HaKnesses, also Asoki Tashmisha Mitzvah. They made the Beis HaKnesses into Tashmisha Mitzvah, but when he says Asu Oisoi, they made it, that's a Din de Rabbanon. They made it like a Sukkah, like a Lulav, Shinizrak and Liacha Mitzvahson, Ubizman Mitzvah, Yejben Kedusha Shokovid. You have to treat it respectfully. Kedamin and Hasim, also a Hartz Mos, Kenegan Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah to do money changing and exchanges. Shoyu Mitzvah, Bezuyo Isalav. There might be other aspects of the Ner Chanukah too, using the light, but also, you know, also there's the issue of Bizui Mitzvah. You're not supposed to use it for mundane activities. L'fichach Beis HaKnesses called Man Shebnei Roitzim Bainoigim by Kedusha Afir B'Chorbanoi. You have to treat the Beis HaKnesses with proper Kedusha. Shreidayim La'Avriz Man Mitzvah. You never know, you might use it again. V'roi Yulachzo Livnoi. So you might come back and use it again. Look at the Ramban Shul, what's in the old city now, right? All the shuls that they brought back to life. So you might come to use it again. When they decide they're not going to use it anymore, then it's considered to be that the man of the mitzvah's path. It's like a sukkah and a lulav afterwards, and it doesn't retain its kedusha beyond its usefulness. The Ran disagrees. Ve'ein dvara berurin etzli. The whole purpose of the shul is to say kedusha lein tayra hitil b'chachamim kedusha midavrim. They made it into tashmisha kedusha that requires geniza. But either way, whether it's tashmisha kedusha or tashmisha mitzvah, and that has to do with what is the status of the items of a shul that's after it's dismantled and no longer in use. We'll leave that discussion for another time. You do see that the Ran and the Ramban believe that we're talking about a kedusha that's midarabanan. Yeah. However, look at the Urayim. The Urayim here is commenting on the Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. As Shabbos, Soisai, Teshmer, Mikdashi, Tiro. Keep Shabbos and fear the Beis HaMikdash. Umatzino, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedosh, and Nikru Mikdash. The Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedosh are also called Mikdash. Because the Pasuk says, in the Teichachav, Hashimoisi as Mikdashechem. I will destroy your Mikdashechem. What are your Mikdashechems? That's plural. Mikdash, Mikdashi, Mikdashechem. Right? It could have said Mikdash, it didn't. It could have said even Mikdashi, but it didn't. It said Mikdashechem, the rabbis, both the Knesset, both the Midrashas. Include the Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMedrash. That's also called a mikdash. So look over here. On the last line, the manu kishamar teres mikdash shiti rosh about the knesses about the midrashas shebabavel. It includes beis hamikdash, beis hamedrash, and beis haknesses in Bavel, which sounds like it's a dimidai raisa. Mikdash sheichem includes the beis haknesses, beis hamedrash. The Rambam says this almost explicitly. The Rambam has, of course, the Arach Hazaka, where he discusses the different halachas and the categories and the titles and the chapters that he made, and then he has the sefer hamitzvos where he lists off the mitzvos. But there's a minyan hamitzvos hakotzer. There's a brief minyan mitzvahs. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is very long. This is a, relatively, but this is a brief list of the mitzvahs the Rambam has, but sometimes there's unique formulations in the minyan HaMitzvahs HaKotzer, the brief list, the table of contents. So Rambam writes in the table of contents, really, you're not allowed to destroy them or to dismantle them. Just like you're not allowed to destroy the Shem HaShem, you're not allowed to destroy Kizvei HaKodesh. You should have the name of Hashem. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Abei Tabdun Etzkom Mekamos Shavdu Shom Agoyim. You have to dismantle all the places that they worship over the Zara. Ashei Rehem Tisfun Ba'esh. The next pasuk says, Lo Yisasim Kein Hashem Lekeichem. Do not do this for a shul or for Kizvei HaKodesh. So it's an Iser, says a Rama Midoy Raisa, to dismantle a shul. After dismantle a base of Eidazor, you do not have to dismantle, you're not allowed to dismantle a shul. It's an Isur Deiraisa. So this comparison to a base of Mikdash sounds like it's a din Midoiraisa. And similarly, writes the Mordechai, let's look back in Oisal, the Mordechai and Nekamar Mesechus Megillah, a base of Knesset, Nikra Mikdash Miyat. Now he doesn't tell you whether it's a din Deiraisa, a din Derabbanan, but he does make the same extension as the Rambam, Velachain, Osir, Lintoids, Dover, Mi Base HaKnesses. Not allowed to dismantle anything from the shul. So whether this is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan, just changes the gravity of our discussion, but it does sound like it has a kedusha. It's a mikdash miyat. If it has kedusha, you're not allowed to dismantle it. So forget about the practical concern. You know, I won't have a place to daven if we take down the shul without building the next one, the new one first. Or forget about the issue, even if we have a place to daven, the other concern, maybe we won't have a shul, and every community has to have a shul. That's a feature of a proper Jewish community that has a shul and a mikvah and all those things. But it's an usher to do it. You're not allowed to take down a shul. A shul has a halacha of a mikdash miyat. And the Rishonim say that just like, there's a mitzvah to dismantle a base of Eidah Zohar, you're not allowed to dismantle a shul. So Rabbi Yisai, I ask you the question, how could it be a Gemara never brought that issue up? Forget about the practical concerns. Yes, if there's a shul or no shul, we're afraid you're not going to have a shul in the community. That's why, by the way, we'll get to in a second, that's why Tosfos said if you have another shul in the community, everyone would agree you could dismantle the first one before rebuilding the second one, right? Agamar brought up two possible concerns. Don't take down the first one before you build the new one. Why? You want a place to daven, or you want to have a shul, right? Pshiyusa. What if there is a shul already in the community? They said, well, then it's pashut. You're allowed to do that. That's exactly what the Gemara there says. The Gemara says, Marema Marzutra Sosri Ubani Bekaita Besitva, Ubani Besitva, Bekaita. They built a winter shul in the summer, because they had a shul in the summer where they were, and they built their summer, the winter shul, they built their summer shul in the winter, because they had a shul where they were in the winter. So where if you have a shul already, you don't need to take, you don't have to, you can, you know, take down the first one before you rebuild the new one. Everyone would agree to that. Because why? Because the community has a shul. Oh, if you have a shul, you have a shul. Yeah, but how are you allowed to take down the other one? The other one, again, let's say there's two shuls in town. I don't know. Two shuls in town. One of them you plan to dismantle and rebuild. Agamar says, don't take it down to build a new one. Yeah, but there's another shul in town. Oh, so then it's mutter. How's it mutter? You're not allowed to take down a shul ever. How is this permitted? Have you hear my kasha? So I think what we have to say is that fundamentally that's not an issue in our sugya. You know why? Because you planned to rebuild it. Whenever you plan to rebuild it, and obviously taking down the first one has something to do with building the second one. Right? Obviously taking down the first one is going to help you in the building of the second one. Otherwise, why would they be contingent one on the other? Right? Why do I have to take down the first one in order to build the second one? So obviously they're connected. So if building the second one requires you to take down the first one, so then taking down the first one really isn't an Iser of Lo Yisasim Kein La'Hashem Elokeichem, because it's all for the purpose of building the second one. The only thing that remains is the practical concerns of having a place to daven and having a shul in your community. What kind of community doesn't have a shul? People are going to look at you on TripAdvisor and not going to see a shul in your community. Whoever heard of such a thing? Terrible. So we don't want, you know, the rumors to get out. You know, but it's wrong, you know, even in principle, to have a community without a shul. But I have a shul already. But what's the heter to take down the other shul? It's still kaddish b'kedushas beis hakneset. Make the shmiyah v'sas and kenlech shomer kechem. No, obviously you needed to take this one down in order to build the other one. Whenever you need to take down the shul in order to build it, that's not called taking down the shul. That's called demolition. The first stage of construction is demolition. You have to take down something, usually in order to build something else in its place. So even though the shuls here sound like they're in different places, because otherwise how could you build the second one before you destroy the first one, right? They must be in different places. If they're in the same place, we couldn't tell you, build the second one before you take down the first one, because they're in the same place. How could you leave the first one and build the second one at the same time? Must be you're taking down the second one, though. Taking down the first one is somehow helping in the building of the second one. Whenever that's the case, that's not called destroying. That's called demolition for the purpose of building. So that in theory is permitted. Rabbi said, look over here at the Ramah, Simen Kuf Mem Beis, Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. V'asu Lister Davim Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to destroy anything in the shul. Forget about the whole thing, even a part of it. Unless you do it in order to rebuild it. And Mishnah Berurah writes, because if you plan to rebuild it, ain't zin a titzel opinion. Then the destroying is not destroying, it itself is building. And the Eliyahu Rabbah has a diuk like that in the language of the Rambam. The Taz and the Eliyahu Rabbah are very busy discussing a shtender shayla. The shtender shayla that they're all talking about is not our shayla. We have a freestanding shtender. They had a shtender that was built into the wall. But in order for the shtender to go into the wall, you had to have a piece of wood that would support it. In order to put that piece of wood there, you had to destroy a piece of the wall to put the piece of wood on. So you're destroying the piece of the wall, but you're not rebuilding the wall. So the Taz says you have no right to do that. You just took out part of the wall. Yeah, but I took out part of the wall in order to put a shtender, a board for a shtender. Yeah, but you're not rebuilding the wall. So the Taz said you're not allowed to do that. Taz says you can't put in your shtender. Look over here. The Eliyahu Rabbah quotes it. Oizvav. Zeh loshon HaTaz. Perush Yashiv Yidna V'Yagav Magay Mokom Anatitza. When can you destroy part of a shul? If you rebuild that exact spot. Avam Reitzel Lintoiz Ksas B'Mokom Echad Yesham Guma. You want there to be a hole for support your shtender. Afal Pishu Loi. Even though it serves a purpose for the shul of davening, it's still aser. They're not doing right. But the Eliyahu Rabbah disagrees with the Taz. No, this is all permitted. Look at the language of the Rambam. In Perek Vav, says the Rambam over here, I gave it to you, Zayin. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to destroy a shul. Hasoiser afilu even achas derech hashchosa. You do it in a manner of destruction. But if it's not in a manner of destruction, it's constructive. Just the first stage of construction is demolition. That's permitted. So this is constructive. Moshe Lamad Avadayme is, if you're familiar with the discussion surrounding a cosmetic surgery, everyone asks, how are you allowed to do cosmetic surgery? You're not allowed to harm yourself. You're not allowed to cut yourself, you're not allowed to bruise yourself, you're not allowed to hit yourself. All these things are prohibited. You're not allowed to do these things. You're not allowed to commit suicide, you're not allowed to hit yourself and punch yourself and harm yourself and cut yourself. So how are you allowed to do cosmetic surgery? Isn't that harming yourself? Because at the beginning of the surgery, you have to make an incision. So Ramesha has a diuk. It's not Ramesha's diuk. Others already before Ramesha have a diuk. That's only if it's destructive. If it's constructive, then it's permitted. The Rambam there writes in Hilchos Chayiv Mazik, it's only if it's derech netitza. It's in a manner of harming. Someone's destroying. Someone's hitting you. You're hitting yourself in a harmful manner. But if it's constructive, then it's allowed. So there's no chayiv ba'atzmai. There's no harming yourself in the course of performing cosmetic surgery because you need it for whatever purpose. Someone needs it. That goes into, it's heavy into the issue about contact sports also, which, harming people and all these kinds of things. That is, seems like it is a little bit more destructive than constructive. So I guess the assumption is that that's not going to happen. If it happens, it's an aberration, as opposed to a surgery where that's the whole purpose is to make cuts and bruises and things. Okay, but either way, if it's constructive, That's not a violation of Chayvo B'Yatzmai.
So, so to, like the constructive part be subjected to the person who wants it?
I guess. I don't know if, you know, they have places now where they just destroy things. Right, that's like a chalmoid activity now. To go and smash things with a hammer.
I did that in chalmoid.
And is it kishmak?
Biggest waste of money.
Yeah.
15 minutes for like $25.
Second to axe throwing.
Yeah.
Axe throwing was built. It was booked. So, yeah, but I don't know. People claim it's like wet off steam and it's like therapeutic. I don't know, but I presume someone could argue cutting yourself. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to talk about these things.
No, I'm saying, like,
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think there's an objective side and a subjective side.
Like the Schneider in the wall thing.
No, look, I think certain cosmetic surgeries are subjective. A lot of people would do them. A lot of people wouldn't do them. So I wouldn't call a person who does it, you know, I don't think there's a limit. If a person, I don't know how far we take the cosmetic surgery. It's not really this coast. It's the other coast. It's a big issue, you know. How much cosmetic surgery is too much? But, you know, again, I think there's a reasonable amount that we probably, some people would accept, you know, I don't know.
Well, would the intent matter? I mean,
yeah,
you cut yourself,
of course.
But if you're playing contact sports, you're not
yeah, but it is, the sport is destructive, right? I mean, you are trying to hurt the other guy. In boxing, you are trying to hurt him. That's the whole purpose.
Oh, okay.
We derive fun from watching other people get hurt, as sick as that sounds. I mean, right?
You think boxing and football are different or the same? Boxing is very clear. That's the purpose. Football is just like a part of the game.
No, it's because you're playing offensive defense.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know.
Well, I'm saying, like, in football, like,
I don't want to talk about this now. I've talked about this before, but I think football, I don't know. I don't know. Is football just, we don't talk about the contact, people getting hurt side because there's so much money involved and we enjoy it so much that we let the sheikh out of it.
Probably.
You know, blind us to the terrible social health side of it. I don't know. I think we need to be honest with ourselves. I don't know. I assume this is probably discussed all the time. I don't know.
So I'm just curious because in boxing, the purpose of the sport is...
I think getting hurt in baseball is pretty, you know, acceptable amount of risk. Or basketball, right? But if you ask me, football, it seems a little bit... I don't know. I don't know. You need to see stats and figure out what... I don't know. Complicated. It's definitely not cosmetic surgery, but it's just constructive. Boxing, the whole purpose is to hurt people and to hurt yourself. I mean, definitely not a Jewish Jewish sport, if there is a Jewish sport, yeah. So anyway, getting back over here. So destroying the shul, if it's constructive, so then the Eliyahu Rabbah says that, then it should be allowed. So I think over here too, even if we get that, right? I presume they destroyed this lot, which used to have a house here, to build something. I don't know why. Purpose was, but it's been here for 30 years. But if you're going to destroy it, typically you're going to build something in its place. So that's constructive. But yeah, but I'm building a shul elsewhere. I'm destroying this one, building a new one over there. So Masas Binyamin, the Masas Binyamin is from the 1600s, the Magen Avraham, the Talmud of the Ramah. Magen Avraham quotes him all the time. So an early Achron. The Masas Binyamin writes, when you have in mind to build a new shul, that's like a substitute for the old shul. And the Kedusha gets transferred to the new shul. So if I build the new shul, taking down this shul in order to build a new shul,
you didn't move places?
Yeah. The whole issue of Kedusha, Mikdash Miyad, is kind of irrelevant or sidestepped, not only because of the Svara, right, that if I take down this wall in order to expand the room to make a social hall, then that's called construction and not destruction, even though you probably can't take a shul and lower it down to a social hall. But even if you don't understand what I'm saying, we have to destroy this wall to make more space for people to sit in base medrash, that's called constructive and not destructive. But even beyond that, the Masas Binyamin says, if I'm going to build another shul, the Kedusha gets transferred there, assuming that destroying one, dismantling one is necessary for the other, in which case, even if the order is reversed, even if you will dismantle this one and later build that one, the Kedusha gets transferred to the new one. Daikino and Shapir, Ashkamini Leonami came into Banu Basic Mesos Chodash, Paka Kedusha Sebahachi. So the Kedusha of the, you know, the first one gets transferred to Kedusha of the new one. However, this could be the issue, though, getting back to those 2 days in the Gemara. Maybe this issue is in our Gemara somewhere. Because, have a look back. There's 2 reasons why you're not supposed to destroy the first shul before you build the next one. Either the practical concern, not going to have a place to daven, or mishum pshiyusa. Now, the way we explained pshiyusa was, that you're not going to have a you'll delay in the building of the shul. And at least temporarily, you'll have a community, you know, that might not have a shul. That's not right. That's why if there is another shul in town, Taisva says, nothing to talk about. You have another shul in town. So you have a shul in the community. But it sounds like from Taisus that the concern is you're going to delay in the building of the new shul. Because Taisus says, look at Taisus. Taisus says, if there's one shul in the winter, one shul in the summer, you can dismantle the summer one in the winter one in the summer. Look at the bottom of Taisus of Masl Hagah. V'oin machmas kar v'chaim, ein lochosh shem yivshu o bizman gobel kokachin lochosh. From the summertime to the wintertime, you can dismantle one without rebuilding the new one first, because a whole season you're going to delay? We understood construction delays, but a whole season from winter to summer, that's too far. That's too much delay. Taisus didn't live in our context where things projects get delayed for years. But he believes that's too much time for the project to get delayed. So it sounds like for Taisus, the concern is the project is going to get delayed, not canceled. But look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Pshiyusa dilma misrami oynes upashi v'loy banu achrisi." You're not going to build another one. You're not going to build another one. So have a look in the Taras Chaim.
According to Tosfos, maybe not even delayed. You're building a much, like you're in a house to compare to building a shul. Would that be a problem?
I'm sorry?
If you're in a house and you're building a massive shul because your shul is huge,
yeah,
it might not be delayed, but it's going to take a lot longer for it to be built. I mean, no delay. It's just going to take 2 years to build.
Tosfos didn't deal with construction projects that took so long. Yeah, yeah. That could be in too, yeah. Okay. And he couldn't fathom there'd be a project that would last from one season to the next. Who ever heard of a six-month building project? But right, for us, that's commonplace.
Right.
Right. So, but that's why Tosfos understood, if there's a winter one, a summer one, summer one, winter one, the concern doesn't, you know, there's no issue because the building wouldn't take that long. You're right. In the current context, we'd have to expand that. Right, so look over here, though, in the Taras Chaim. Taras Chaim says, you know, he notices or tries to bring riots back and forth in the Gemara to these two positions within the Rishonim. Is the Pshiyusa, you're never going to build a new one? Or Pshiyusa, you're going to delay in building the new one? So look over here. He writes, Banu Bekaita Besitva, over here, Oishchas. Kazu Behagoyz Taisis, the Bezman Golo Kokach in Locho Shalach Taima. Yeah, winter to summer, you know, no project's going to take that long. Mishum Dehadikamar, Mishum Pshiyusa, Lav de Misrami Oinis Veloyim Nu Lagamre. Says the Taras Chaim, again from the 1600s or early Achron, that it's not that you're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaKnesses, you know, the new one at all. Dim came kikas mangolo, my hobby. So just because one is in the winter, one is in the summer, who cares? It's still, you're not going to build it. My hobby. I will do misrami einishu pashigur of nuga altar. What it means, you're not going to build it right away. V'chein kosev rabbeinu nisim, dolo chayshin eshgo yivnu klal. We're not afraid you're not going to build it right away. However, and that's what it sounds like from the Bekaita Besitza, Besitza Bekaita. But later on in the Gemara, Chevra, the Gemara told the story of Rav Ashi. If you remember, Rav Ashi said they found the crack in the wall, they needed to rebuild the shul, they took it down, Rav Ashi chained himself to the shul and lived in the shul until they put up the gutters, the downspouts, you know, everything was done. They put on the outlet covers and everything. That was when he left. Miu b'samach, says the Taras Chaim, lo mash mekein. Doesn't sound like that. The Parch with Ben Buta, and then the Gemara also told the story of Ben Buta who advised Hurdus to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash because the Gemara asked him, how could he do that? You're going to take down this one before rebuilding the new one. So the Gemara says, yeah, the government is different because the government never abandons projects. Government always follows through. The Parch with Ben Buta, hechi azve le'etza. How could Ben Buta give the etza to Hurdus? Remember, we read the Gemara yesterday. Mashud hachikamar, hechi azvi etza v'lohavi chash, v'pshiyusa. How is he not chashish v'pshiyusa? Shul yiv ne'klal, that they're not going to build him. Either kamishani, shiny malchus, the lohadar bay. The malchus, the government always pays its debts and never abandons projects. Mashud lohadar bay, shul yiv ne'klal, sounds like they're not going to build it at all. That's the concern. And he says, that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Because Rashi wrote, Dilma Mesrami Oidus Upashi Vigo Banu Achrisi. So big machlekes, so what does it mean, Pshiyusa? They're going to delay in building it or not build it at all? So he just mentioned it as a technical issue. If you ask me, I think this goes to the heart of what we're afraid of. You know, what's the fear here? Is the fear that we're going to be a community without the critical feature of a shul? That's why Taisvis also felt, if there's another shul here, we're good. You can take down the first one before rebuilding the new one. And, you know, that's why the pshiyuk could be, right, you can't take down the first one before you build the second one if there's no other shul, because you might delay in building it. and will be temporarily a community that has no shul. But if there's another shul, it's all good. That's how Taisus learned. However, there's another girsa in our Gemara. The other girsa that you have over here in the brackets, in the parentheses, is that another nafkamina, or the nafkamina between the Ikab Shiusa, is that because we're afraid of Shiusa, we're afraid of Makam Mishum Tzuluye, there's no place to daven, is what if there's another shul in town? So Taisus changes that girsa, as do many of the Rishonim, to Ikab Duchti Lutzuluye, there's a place to daven, but it's a temporary location. Then we have to be afraid. You can delay in building a shul. It'll be a community without a shul. But if there's another shul in town, no one would say there's a problem. But according to this other girsa, no, that's exactly the fourth line between these two positions. Is what if there's another shul in town? According to the one that, you know, is concerned there's no place to daven, you have another place to daven. Go to the other shul. As hard as that sometimes is, right? The other one that holds Mishum Shiusa is not because you're going to be a community without a shul. That's not why. You already have another shul. So what's the Pshiusa? You're not going to rebuild this one ever. So what? You have another shul in town. So I'll tell you, I think the so what is that if you take down this shul without rebuilding it, even if you have another shul in town, there's still a fear. What fear? That you took this one down unnecessarily and you violated Mikdash Miata. You're not allowed to take down a Beis HaKnesses or, you know, just like the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to take it down unless you plan to rebuild, you know, with this thing, in this place, with these items, or, you know, whatever resources you gain by taking down the shul. So, therefore, the concern of Pshius is not that we're going to be a community that doesn't have this essential feature of a shul. You're going to violate the principle of Mikdash Miyah by taking down the shul unnecessarily, because you're not going to rebuild ever, as Rashi said. You're going to abandon the project. So it's not we're going to be, for a prolonged period of time, a community that has no shul, which is embarrassing, wrong. But it's because you're going to violate this Iser of a Mikdash Miyah. So maybe this concern actually does factor into the Gemara, not within the Girsa necessarily that we had, but within the Girsa that the Rishonim rejected, or Taisus rejected, that if there's a Beit Knish Tachrisi, even the one who holds up, you know, the fear of Pshiusa, the fear still exists. Even if there's another shul, because the concern is not to have the essential feature of a community of having a shul, the concern is that you're going to violate the Iser of Mikdash Miyah, of, you know, taking down the shul unnecessarily. And even if there's another shul in town, that doesn't help with that. You have to rebuild this shul. You have to rebuild this shul. Okay, so that's a looming concern behind this whole thing. But forget about the practical concerns of you need a place to daven, you need a community that has a shul. There's the other issue, which is that this is a mikdash miyah. You're really not supposed to take it down unless you plan to rebuild with it. But then you have the, which then is permitted, but you shouldn't take down the first one before you build the second one because of the practical concerns of a place to daven and a community to have a shul.
Is he concerned about
Well, I think I don't know why Taisus wasn't, you know, why that wasn't a driving concern in the Sugya. Unless you'll say, you know, Taisus didn't believe people abandoned projects. So, you know, that wasn't, you know, that didn't rise to the level of concern. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Taisus didn't factor it into the Sugya. I don't think Taisus would deny it. He just didn't factor it into the Shaka V'tayi V'at Gemara. So we asked, why not? So we said, well, because you plan to rebuild it anyway, so maybe the whole issue is moot. Because if I plan to rebuild it, it's not Soyser, it's, you know, Soyser Manas Livnois. That's called Binyan. Maybe, right? It's still unusual that it wouldn't factor in somewhere to the Shaka V'tayi, but maybe it actually does,
well,
according to this other Gersa.
Didn't we just send the Gemara that we have to redeem the captives? Like, you'd have to give up money or whatever you have to show to redeem the captives?
Yeah, so.
That could easily happen. That could be abandoned in the project. You only raised a blank amount of dollars for the shul.
So why, you're asking, why wasn't Tosis concerned with the...
Yeah, saying you could just... have the money, then.
Well, it might not be this money. You'll get money later. It might delay the project.
So,
I don't know why Taisus wasn't concerned with it. We explained it's not really an issue necessarily because you plan to rebuild at some point. But according to some, Gear says it actually factors into the Shaka V'tayi. That's exactly what Pshius is all about. Is you're afraid you're going to abandon the project and you'll violate the Isser of destroying a shul. What if there's something wrong in the shul? It's falling down. So Rav Ashi says over here, V'lo Amaran, four lines up in the narrow lines. Eldo Chazi Beit Tiyua. Of a Chazi Beit Tiyua, Sasu Ubani Beit Ubani. Like Rav Ashi, who his shul Matamaxia had a crack. They had to take it down right away without building a new one. He slept in there until they finished it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, the Chazi Beit Tiyua. Where's Rashi? Bikua. Shehem is zuman lipo. There's a crack. It's going to fall down. We know about falling buildings, unfortunately. It's a crack. It's going to fall down. However, Chevra, look at the Rosh. Look at the Rosh. Rosh says over here, Simon Dawid. Ice test on the sheet. V'hani milu d'ukhazi bei tiyua. Avahek d'ukhazi bei tiyua. Sasa rubani. If you see a crack, you could take it down. V'chein ko binyin. She evshar l'vnoise b'loi stira k'goin l'harchavis abinyin. Sotu says the Rosh, this is not only true if there's a crack and it's going to fall down. It's condemned by the architect. It's not servicing your needs. That's also called Chazu Bei Tiyua. That's really different than Rashi. Rashi said you can only take down the shul if it's falling down, unless you build the new one first. The Rosh said, no, even if it's not servicing your needs, you can take it down, even if you have to temporarily close. Because that's called Chazi Bei Tiyua. Yeah, yeah. So the heter to expand the shul without providing, you know, space, that's a shul space, not a temporary davening space, a shul space in the interim is based on this Rosh. The Rosh said that's called Chazi Bei Tiyua. The later Acharei Mead, that's why it says it's Meduyik like that in the Gemara, because the Gemara says Chazi Bei Tiyua. They saw a crack. Why would you say they saw? It's an objective fact. There either is or there isn't. I mean, you know, it's not like a debate. Is there a crack? Is there not a crack? And let's just say it wasn't clear if there was a crack. Why would you say Chazu Bei Tiyua? They saw a crack. So must mean, maybe, or not must, could mean. And that's where the Rosh got this from, is that it's a matter of opinion. It's exactly the point. And that's why it's not a crack. A crack is not a matter of opinion. Crack is a fact. This is a matter of opinion. Is it servicing its needs or not? Maybe you could still get by. Maybe you can't. Then, now, it's up to debate. And it depends on the eyesight of every person, meaning the perspective of every person. What do you think? So it's meduyuk like that, maybe, in the Gemara too, like the Rosh. How do we paskin? Have a look in Shulchan Aruch over here, Kufnun Beis. Ain't Tzayzu Beis HaKnesses, Kadesh Livnois Beis HaKnesses Acher, Shem Yara Lahem Oynes, V'shalo Yivnu Acher. Maybe an oinus will happen, you won't build the next one. That's like the chafir, not like Tosis is going to delay, that's like Rashi. You're never going to build the next one. You build the second one first. Says the Ramah, even if you want to extend the shul, you can't do it until you first build what's beyond the wall. So when can you take down the wall? You know, I guess you'd have to build it like sometimes they build extensions to a house. You have to leave the wall of the house there, build the extension, then knock down the wall so the extension is already there. That's not the typical way they build extension. Typical way you build extension is you knock down the wall and then you put it into the framing and everything. It takes forever. So the Ramah says, no, you can't take down the wall until the extension is built outside. It says the Bir Alach in the name of the Rosh. V'ksas pera d'loi hizkir klal das ha-rosh. Why did the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch ignore the Rosh? The Masmi Menu LaHepuch, the Hekel, the Rosh and LaHechivai, where they want to extend the shul. The Epshabloi Stiras Habinyan is not possible without destroying the wall. The Shari LaSaisa, Shein Darka came, the Chibura, Bechol Mokon. It's not the way of the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah to ignore the Rosh. The Epshab, the Ladina, Loi Pligi Klah HaRamah VaRosh. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch and the Rosh don't disagree. VaRosh, the Kavanas HaRamah, Mark Hekel, but the Epshab, the whole Shulchan Aruch is when it's possible to do it that way. The Beis HaKnesses is too small for its population. It's called Mispalum Sham. You can't fix it. So Bialach is saying on this Rosh, and he claims the Shulchan Aruch never disagreed with the Rosh, because it's not like the Shulchan Aruch to ignore a Rosh. Okay.
I mean, they're saying that you won't be able to rebuild the shul in the same place that your shul stands. You need to build a new one first.
No, I'm talking about building a new one. We're even talking about just extending it. You have to take down a wall. Taking down a wall is also aser. Taking down a nook for a shtender, the Taz was going, you know, was upset about. We had to kvetch out a heter from Nelly Rabba because it's constructive. I'm making a shtender. So take down a wall to extend is surely a big issue. But if that's the only way to do it, the Rosh holds that's called Chazi Bei Tiyua. It could be allowed. So shul construction is way more complicated than we might have thought. But how is it Rav Ashi, what Tosfos is bothered by, is how was Rav Ashi able to live in the shul, right? They saw a crack in the shul, it's going to fall down, they have to rebuild it. Rav Ashi, which is dangerous, it sounds like, the building is condemned, what's he doing living in a condemned building? Okay, but forget, let's put that aside for now. But Rav Ashi is living in the shul while they're doing this construction in order to make sure that they finish it. Ask Tosfos, how are you allowed to live in the shul? The Gemara says, Mesechtas Megillah, I gave it to you over here. Tana Abanan. But the Knesios ain't Norgan behind Kalus Rosh, and Eichel behind, Shoyz behind, and Oizen behind, and Matanam behind. You're not allowed to do Divrei Chulin in the shul. Divrei Chayu, you're not allowed to do it there. So how you got to sleep in the shul? So Tosfos says four lines down, and don't tell me Rashi. What's he talking about, Rashi? Something about this Rashi. The Gemara says there, first of all, two distinct dispensations. The first is, look at the end of the second line. This Tosfos doesn't bring up. Amar Rava, Chachamim v'talmideya mutarim. The Talmidei Chachamim are permitted to eat and sleep and drink in the shul. D'amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my bei Rabbanan, beis de Rabbanan. What is the house of Talmidei Chachamim? Is their beis medrash. In Eretz Yisrael, there are Yungalite who go to the... There used to be... When I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, there was a kohel next to the yeshiva, and people slept on the benches at night. I mean, they didn't go home. They slept there for the week. They went home for Shabbos. I don't know if the kohel is still there. It went out of business, but they were all old men. It wasn't like young people. They used to go home for Shabbos. So they eat and drink and sleep all in the shul. That's the Bei Rabbanon. It's the Beis HaMedrash. So then it's permitted, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Talmidei Chachamim in the Beis Medrash are allowed to eat and sleep and drink and whatever, do the other activities in the shul, because that's their office. This is their shul. And so too, by the way, it's true, even if a person is not, you know, qualifies one of these coast-to-coast guys who spend their whole week in the shul. But even if you spend time there, you have to have a coffee in the shul while I'm learning, because the whole purpose is for my learning. This is where I am. This is my office now. So then it's different. It's different. But generally speaking, it's not allowed in a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. But the Gemara says over here in the second line, Amar Abasi, but the Knesio should be bubble al Tanai Heina Suyin. They were built out al Tanai on condition. So some of these things are permitted, but nonetheless, you can't have levity. My nihu, what is levity? Cheshbonus, business. So no business in the shul. But they were built on condition. Built on condition that what? What condition? What did that allow? Look at Rashi. Al menashe yishtamish ben. It's pashup shat. That you should be allowed to use the shul for divrei chulin. That was how they were built. About the kneisa shebavavel. If that's the case, we have to wonder, why was it then only in Bavel? Why would you say Batei Knesset and Shebabava? Were they the only ones who came up with this chop? Why did they do this in Eretz Yisrael too? It doesn't work for Rashi. You hear? Otherwise, why is it Dafka Bavel? Some say it's Lav Dafka Bavel. They only happen to come up with the chop in Bavel. That's what you have to say for Rashi. Tosfos says, no, Rashi is incorrect. Tosfos says, Ein L'taretz. Look over here in the fourth line of our Tosfos. Mishum B'Bavel Havi. Vam Ravasi. And Ravasi says, but the Knesset show bubble out tonight. Hey, now so you're prepared. So Kuchus has some. And after we were in and had the Katani Leo and Elkin Bem and Chosen Bem and Nechlasim Bem Bechama, you're not supposed to do the very Chulin in the Shul. They Shama Bishal Bubavel Mutter, but in Bubavel it's allowed because they were built on condition. So maybe the Rav Ashi was in the Batin Knesset Bubavel where they were built on condition, therefore was permitted. Don't say that, says Tosfos. Dehakam Mahasam Basar Achi Ravina Rav Ada. Tosfos is going to prove Rashi's Pshat is wrong. Ravina Rav Ada, Havukami v'Shayli Shmaisa. They were talking and learning with Rava. May Rava. Asa Zilcha, Dimitra, it started raining, Alayu. Va'ay lebe Kanishta. They came inside of the shul. V'loy mishum Mitra, not because of the rain, that would have been prohibited. You're not allowed to use the shul as your umbrella. El mishum de Shmaisa by Tzilusa. Because if you want to be successful in your learning, you have to daven too. So they came into daven. For Siyata Deshmaya. Vahashta, says Tosfos on Rashi, why do you have to come with this kind of why are they so defensive? No one came in the shul to make it into their umbrella. They came into Davin to success in their learning. Why? The Batei Knesses were built. Al Tanai, Vagoy Batei Knesses, Bavel, Haya, Vayuchon Likones, Babim, they mutter. You're allowed to come in and use it as your umbrella because it was built Al Tanai. Must be, it's prohibited. The Tanai doesn't help you. What is this Tanai talking about? Why is it only in Bavel? What it means is the shuls in Bavel are temporary. We don't build them that way. People pour money and put their name all over because they think it's like their legacy, which is good. We need that. But not without an eye towards the Meher Yibana HaMikdash and the Bati Knesset of Bavel will all be moved to Eretz Israel. So they're all built out tonight that they're going to get moved to Eretz Israel. That's why it's only in Bavel. And you know when this Tanai is effective? After the shul is no longer in use, you can dismantle it. That's what it means. Not that you could do mundane activities in the shul. The Tanai doesn't work while the shul is in existence. That's why they didn't do this in Eretz Israel, because the shul is there permanent. Not going to help. It's talking about after it's fallen into disuse, and it doesn't allow you, you know, to do Divrei Chulin, you know, while the shul is in existence. That's why it's only in Bavel. Doesn't mean that Rav Ashi actually lived in the shul. Oh, he slept in. There was always churches are built like this. Lahavdil, they have it where the priest lives next door. You know what I'm talking about? The churches in the city are all built this way. They all have living quarters attached to the church where the nuns lived and the priests lived. Now I don't know what they use it for, but there's a name for it, the domicile or something. There's a name for the. For the residents attached to the church. So, Lahavdil, the shuls used to be built that way too. There was a guest rooms attached to the shul. That's why you made kiddush in the shul for the guests who were staying in the guest rooms. And they might not have know how to make kiddush. So that's where Rav Ashi slept. He slept in the guest rooms. Why do we make kiddush in shul? In order to be mighty, the archim. But there were Archim sleeping in the shul, da'achu v'shanu v'ganu v'bei kenishta. And why? Why does Tosfos reject Rashi? Why can it be because of the Tanai that permitted the shul to be used for mundane activities? V'hada amar al Tanai heinasu mefarish v'ila inyan shem yisrabu yasu mehen ma sheyirtzu im yechravu. If they'll be defunct, you can do what you want with it. Levad mikalus roish. But even after it's defunct in Bavel, you can't use it for kalus roish. You can't make it into a nightclub. No, no. Can't be a shul, not a nightclub. There's a tour, by the way, of Harlem and certain parts of Manhattan where they take you on, I don't know if you've ever done it, take you on defunct shuls. They're all over the city. All over the city. You'd be surprised what some of them today are used for. You wouldn't even notice it. Like, they'll show you on the Lower East Side or in Harlem where there used to be tons of shuls. You see a little Mug and David in a laundromat or something. Yeah. These things used to be shuls. Anyways, you're not supposed to have Kalus Reish, even after Yechrevu. But it was built out tonight. Why is it built out tonight? Because the Jewish community is not meant to be there permanently in Eretz Israel. This can't work. Because the shul should never be Nechrav. What do you mean the shul is Nechrav in Eretz Israel? It should never be abandoned. But in Bavel, that might happen. So in Bavel, they built it out tonight. When it's abandoned, you can use it for other things. But even then, not for a nightclub. Not for Kalus Reish. But Kol Zman, the shul is standing, no. Then you cannot use it for mundane activities. That's the opinion of Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and there's different Rishonim on the different sides of the issue. Have a look over here. The Or Zarua sides with Rashi. Says the Or Zarua over here. Oisid Beis. If a Kol Hani Debraisa, the Asur Bei Knesses, Sheretz Yisrael. All those activities we said are Asur. That's in the shuls in Eretz Yisrael, and all of them are allowed, but the Knesses Sheva Bavel, because they're built out Tanai. Hilchach Mutar Lechov Alishto Seidim, but the Knesses about the Midrasha Shaloi the Al Tanai Heinasuyin. The Zeruah says, we pass like Rashi, Al Tanai Heinasuyin means that it's permitted to do mundane activities in the shul, like eating and drinking and sleeping, not Kalus Reish, not levity, not karaoke. Okay. The Ran quotes from the Ramban that maybe this could be allowed with Shas Archak. Shas Archak. Look over here, he says, the Ran, Lefichach, Pirish Ramban, Chal Tanai Heinasuyas, Haidu Le'inishim Hutzrechu Ha'anji Erlecho Behen. It means if they need to use it, they can use it. So if it's necessary, it can be done. If it's not necessary, so the Or Zarua and Rashi said it's always permitted. Tosfos said it's never allowed. The Tanai doesn't work for that. It only works after it's defunct. The Ramban said, it could be allowed. The Ran adds one more wrinkle, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see how this all plays out. The Ran adds a different teretz to Tosfos. No, Rav Ashi lived in the shul. How are you allowed to live in the shul? You're not allowed to live in the shul, even if it's built out tonight. This is for the purpose of rebuilding the shul. You know when it's also to use the shul for mundane activities? If it's for me, nothing to do with the shul. If I'm working on building a new Aron in the shul, I can do business in the shul. If we're hiring, interviewing a rabbi, you can interview the rabbi in the shul. It's for the purpose of the shul. What is more appropriate in the shul than to do things that enhance the shul? Oh. So says the Ran, I thought it was Rabbeinu Yonah. That's supposed to be Rabbeinu Yonah, I think. Yeah, I think. Oh, no, it's the Ran. No, Chiddush Ran over here, yeah. That if it's for the purpose of the shul, Yeshua, the law, I would pour Beis HaKnesses is mamish? No. Last line. Yeshua, the Hacha Shani, the Tzarek Beis HaKnesses is Oysa. The Afshu, the Tzarek Beis HaKnesses is Mutter. So, Chaver, what activities are Mutter in the shul? Look in Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin? So, first, the Shulchan Aruch says, if it's for Tzarek Beis HaKnesses, it's for the need of the shul, you're allowed to eat and drink and sleep there. And we tam zeh, therefore, on the night of Yom Kippur, they used to burn a lot of candles. Because they needed candles, you know, for whatever reason, they burned candles in the shul on Yom Kippur. So then you're allowed to sleep in the shul on Yom Kippur because someone has to watch all these candles and make sure the shul doesn't burn down. Okay? Then the Shulchan Aruch says, even for another mitzvah, kigoyin chineskabchim la'aber shon beis haknesses mutar le'echol shom. So even if it's a mitzvah, sudas mitzvah, maybe it could be permitted in the shul. Maybe shavu shudis, maybe a siyum. If it's for another mitzvah, even if it's not for the purpose of the shul, it's like for the purpose of the shul, another mitzvah, then maybe it could be allowed. Poskim debate at length. The Mishnah Berurah there also discusses what's called the sudas mitzvah is permitted in the shul. But what about mundane activities mamish? In b'shas bina beis haknesses hisnu alav l'shtamish boy. They made a tanai. Says the Shulchan Aruch like Tosfos, only after it's defunct you can use it for mundane activities. While it's in existence, the Tanai does not work. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Magen Avraham, who paskin like the Orzarua, and Rashi. L'fi das Magen Avraham, gam beretz Yisrael mahani tanai l'shar tashmishin she'ein b'hem kalos rosh. So Bir Halacha is willing to be soimech sometimes on this Orzarua, particularly because you have the Ramban too, that b'makom tchak, sometimes this can be allowed. So, it's a big machlekes rishayim. Seems like it's machlekes at a pasuk, Shulchan Aruch is machmer, and that's why we understand why many are reluctant to do this. But there are some rishayim who are mekel. So there are Imre Yosh is not known as a mekel. Imre Yosh was a huge machmer. That's where Meir Arik has a tshuva. What about all these shuls, where people are eating and drinking in the shul? How is this allowed? So he says they're being soimech on Arzaruah. Okay. Worse things. He says, Yesh Makom Lahakel. That's how he concludes. It could be Samech on the Arzarua, Rashi, that the Tanaj of Ababa works. You could do Divrei Chulin in the Shul, but not Kalas Rosh. Rav Moshe Nigros Moshe introduces another issue that the Paiskim discuss, which is, well, what if we want to build a Shul that it shouldn't be a Shul at all? It's my basement. It's not a Shul. So then, do I need all these Heterim? Can I even do Kalas Rosh there? Can I have a magic show? Can I have a karaoke, whatever, with Hanukkah songs? Can I do that in my basement? It's not a shul, it's a basement. So Moshe says, if you built it, I'll deny that it shouldn't be a shul in the first place. Oh, then of course you can. But, you don't have Kedusha Space HaKnesses. So, you probably need another shul in town. You can't be the only shuls in town are basement minyanim. Then you're like a community that has no shul. So that's not really ideal for a community to have no shul that has kadosh b'kedusha beis haknesses, and I might not get the benefit of davening in beis haknesses. You know, there's a huge benefit of davening in shul. Your tefillos have a better chance of being answered when you daven with a minyan and when you daven in shul. It's a big machloek sapoiskim. What's better, davening with a minyan or davening in shul? And many hold davening in shul b'yachidus is better than davening with a minyan. Your tefillos have a better chance of being answered. It's a big machlokes rishayim and brachas, which is better, davening with a shul or davening with a minyan. Many hold davening in a shul is better. I think that's where Rav Shechter holds. Davening in a shul is better than davening with a minyan. We do it all the time, though. We have Marav Minyan and, Motzei Shabbos in every corner, and no one's running to shul. But okay, Yehei Mashi, yehei. But Lamaisa, davening in a shul is a big benefit. So you lose that. If you don't have Kedusha's base, if you're going to say, I want to do whatever I want in my basement, I'm going to daven in a basement minyan, you don't have the Kedusha's base like
necessary. Basement's transferred into a shul. It's only going to be used for a shul. There could be some aspect of Kedusha.
Oh, so Sternbach tries to introduce exactly what you said. He said, was asked, why do we want to do it? What are we going to do if we're building a shtibel? Well, what are these things? And Chutzars, what should we say? So he says the following nusach. Hinenu miyachdim ha-makom hazen, the third line, she'ikara l'tayra v'tfigah, This place is designated for tefillah. About tanai and umasim shemutah lanim b'chol eish shenir to lechov elishos v'lishom v'daber b'amash shenirta. But we want to do what we want. So he says it doesn't have the full kedusha of a beis hakneses, but it is a makom miyuchad for tefillah. So he thinks the benefits of tefillah and shul you get, but the restrictions of a shul of kedushas beis hakneses you do not have. Now that's not obviously ideal. Ideal would be to have a place that has kedushas beis hakneses, but he doesn't think the benefit of davening in shul is because of the kedushas beis hakneses shabai. It's because it's a makom miyuchad for tefillah. And this place is a makom miyuchad for tefillah. So that's what all the shtibloch, and again, I'm the Rebbe of a shtibloch, so that's what all the shtibloch are relying on, is this kind of compromise. I don't know, though. Reb Moshe rejected that. I think because Reb Moshe felt, no, the benefit of davening in shul stems from the kedushas beis hakneses of it. That's where it comes from. So if you don't have kedushas beis hakneses, you don't have the benefit of davening in shul either. And Reb Sternbach acknowledges, he says, there are those that asked on me. He says, v'yesha yiro v'reinu duchar manavshach. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the benefit of davening in shul, but no kedushas beis hakneses. And he says, yes, I can. So, okay, maybe you can, maybe you can. Meaning, maybe the benefit of davening in shul is a makom miyuchad for tefillah. And this guy's basement is a makom miyuchad for tefillah. Or maybe the benefit of davening in shul stems from the kedushas beis hakneses. And then you have Reb Moshe's point, is that if you can have this condition in mind, that this is not a shul at all, but then you might lose out on having this, you know, central feature of a community, which is it should have a shul. But you'll say, well, there's always the young Israel. There's always the big shul or whatever. I'm just, you know, existing in the shadows. Okay. But then you're davening there. You might not have the same benefit as davening in the shul. So it seems to be a machlek.
You want to get the kedusha part. You made a basement shul and a basement.